So we'll just take a little page out of the disciples' book and worship God and give him praise, for he's worthy. Amen. So we're going to start with some worship here on this fine sunny day. Lord, we just thank you so much for this day. You are everything, Lord. We just thank you for everything you've provided, everything you give, Lord. In the midst of all that's going on, you give us peace. You give us the heart to praise you, Lord, in every situation. So we're going to do that, Lord, for you are worthy. And we come together in agreement with that, Lord, because of the love you gave to us and showed for us on the cross. And, Lord, for what you are going to do from here now to eternity, Lord. We're going to worship you.
So here I am. I am wearing a capybara shirt. Wearing a capybara shirt. Somebody asked me what capybaras were, and she noticed that they look like guinea pigs, right? And they basically do, except they weigh up to 150 pounds. And so they're everybody's friend. So Freeze Pop's capybara shirt, why? Why are we doing this? Okay, I figured with today's message, I need to lighten the load. I need to take the mood and start it off a little bit higher. Because we're going to look at what has been called the darkest passage of Scripture that's in the Bible. We're going to go right there today and look at that. We've been doing this series called We Do Recover, that there's new life in Christ, that we do recover. And so we've seen, as the past weeks have gone on, like in John chapter 3, we see that Jesus didn't come to condemn the world, but to save the world. Everybody hears John 3:16 and knows God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe in him shall not perish but have eternal life. We all know that, but normally it stops right there. It stops right there, and people don't go on to 3:17 and see that it says, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. But here we have this disconnect, because a lot of people report that they feel condemned by Christians, condemned by the church. Okay? So remember, Scripture, that's not Jesus. That's not Jesus. Jesus didn't come to condemn. He came to save. We saw that in John 10. 9 and 10. Jesus said, I am the gate. Those who come in through me will be saved. They'll come and go freely and will find good pastures. Man, I love me some good pastures. I would love it more if I was a cow or a sheep, but I understand the analogy. I understand where we're going here. The good pastures. The thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. Your translation might say abundant life, overflowing life. So you're getting the purpose of Christ. Purpose of Christ, rescue, not condemn. Purpose of Christ, to give them a full life, a rich and satisfying life, an abundant life. That's the purpose of Christ. You know, Jesus met that Samaritan woman at a well. And she was living with rejection. Man, she had been abandoned. She was at the well in the middle of the day, we heard. Middle of the day, which is not the time when the women come to fill up the water pots. And so she was there, and Jesus told her that she'd had multiple husbands, and the guy she was currently living with wasn't her husband. We know that story, right? She was a Hebrew lawbreaker. Definitely breaking the Hebrew laws as a Samaritan. Samaritans held that law to be true as well. And Jesus said to her, I will give you living water and you'll never thirst again. Water for your soul. Get this? Okay, so here's Jesus. came to rescue, to save, not condemn, came to give life abundant, came talking to this woman who is obviously shunned and abandoned and in living in what we call sin. And he says, I'll give you soul water. But now, living water that never runs out. We know that Jesus had a tax collector, Matthew, as one of his disciples. Here's the thing, tax collectors were not popular. We know that Jesus had Zacchaeus, where he called him by name and said, I'm going to your house for dinner. He's a tax collector. Do you know why tax collectors were not popular? Because they ripped people off. They were known for stealing from people. So here Jesus is again. So if you've been feeling like, oh, you know, this Jesus stuff isn't for me because I'm not good enough, you got the wrong Jesus. You don't have the biblical Jesus. You might have church Jesus for a lot of what churches are today. So today, I want us to know that no matter how low, how dark, you're never alone. No matter how many times you failed at something, you're not alone, okay? He doesn't abandon you. In Matthew 28:20, Jesus told his disciples, tell others about me, teaching them to observe all I've commanded, and behold, I am with you always. I am with you always. So that time where you're feeling totally alone, you're totally alone, you're not. That's your feeling, but it's not reality. Never alone. So why is life so hard if God loves us? Why? You get that, we're gonna go through that and see that today in this passage of scripture. Well, the Bible gives us a story of man and woman in paradise. They have everything. They go against God. They lose everything. So they got paradise, and then paradise lost. And then all of scripture is seeking paradise again, trying to earn that back, trying to rediscover that. And then we get to the end of the story, and Christ comes again, and those who believe in him find paradise again. Paradise found. So this morning, as we look at one of the darkest passages of scripture, I would like you to maybe pull it up on your phones if you want to do it that way, but I'll read it out as well. It was written by Haman the Ezrahite. He was a musician, a songwriter. He was an influencer of his time. I mean, he probably had 2.3 million Insta followers. I mean, he was an influencer to the kings, King David, King Solomon, most likely. And he wrote Psalm 88. Now, the Psalms were written to be sung in worship. And I want you to imagine this worship song as we read it. Maybe we'll sing it. Maybe we'll have Bernie come up and lead this. You want to? Whew. O Lord, God of my salvation. Starts out good, right? O Lord, God of my salvation. I cry out to you by day. I come to you at night. Now hear my prayer, listen to my cry. For my life is full of troubles, and death draws near. I am as good as dead, like a strong man with no strength left. They have left me among the dead, and I lie like a corpse in a grave. I am forgotten, cut off from your care. You have thrown me to the lowest pit, into the darkest depths. Your anger weighs me down. With wave after wave, you have engulfed me. You have driven my friends away by making me repulsive to them. Do you notice through here that Haman is doing what we do as well? He, in his terrible situation in life, is blaming God a little bit, okay? Blaming God a little bit and shifting that God has put him in this position, that God has placed him there. And so I am in a trap with no way of escape. My eyes are blinded by my tears. Each day I beg for your help, O Lord. I lift my hands to you for mercy. Are your wonderful deeds of any use to the dead? Do the dead rise up and praise you? Can those in the grave declare your unfailing love? Can they proclaim your faithfulness in the place of destruction? Can the darkness speak of your wonderful deeds? Can anyone in the land of forgetfulness talk about your righteousness? O Lord, I cry out to you. I will keep on pleading day by day. O Lord, why? Why do you reject me? Why do you turn your face from me? I have been sick and close to death since my youth. I stand helpless and desperate before your terrors. Your fierce anger has overwhelmed me. Your terrors have paralyzed me. They swirl around me like floodwaters all day long. They've engulfed me completely. You have taken away my companions and loved ones. Darkness is my closest friend. Wow, huh? That's pretty cheery. Not much is going on in Haman's life that he likes. Okay, Bernie, let's come up and let's sing this together. They sang it together in an assembly as worship. And we're gonna find out why here this morning. I like that, you know, even though Haman is blaming God for his despair, like we all do when life gets the darkest, Charles Spurgeon writes, "And yet if faith could be allowed to speak, she would remind the depressed spirit that it is better to fall into the hand of the Lord than into the hands of man. And moreover, she would tell the despondent heart that God never placed Joseph in a pit without drawing him up again to fill a throne. That he never caused a horror of great darkness to fall upon an Abraham without revealing his covenant to him. And he never cast even Jonah into the deeps without preparing the means to land him safely on land. Alas, when under deep depression, the mind forgets all of this. When under deep depression, the mind forgets all of this and is only conscious of its unutterable misery. The man sees the lion, but not the honey in the carcass. He feels the thorns, but he cannot smell the roses which adorn them." So this morning I have four things from Psalm 88 that I'd like us to remember. The first thing is that God, Jesus, is the name of our higher power. Jesus is the name of our higher power. Number two, it's okay to cry out to him honestly. Number three, you can be sad about the darkness. It's okay to be sad about the darkness. And number four, you can trust Jesus as your Savior. So number one, God is the highest power in the darkness of our souls. Well, why do I say that? I know when we're talking about recovery, if it's in from addiction or substance use disorder, we look at it and we say our higher power is anything that gives us that, whew, I can push through this, I can do this, I can resist this another day. I'm calling on that strength in me. And some people will look and say, that's my inner strength. Some people say my higher power is my nature, is nature. My higher power is AA meetings. My higher power is this higher power. And AA will say, no, the higher power is your higher power. It used to be very clear what your higher power was, that it was the Lord God Jehovah when that started. But as it's gone more and more wide, that name has been lost. And a lot of people are still out there searching. I'm not all that worried about that or upset about that, because it's still getting people through that door of saying, my spirit is alive, there is some higher power out there. Just like Paul said, when he was preaching at one time, he said, hey, this statue that you have over here that says, that it's to an unknown God, let me tell you the name of the God. I'm here to tell you what his name is. The highest power. Here, God has a record, and it's a good record. It's a good record of faithfulness to billions of Christians through the years who have followed. He has a good record. Verse 1 says, O Lord, God of my salvation. So here's what you need to know. We can and should cry out to God as our Savior and our strength. What do we oftentimes cry out to instead to escape when we're in those darkest times? Some of us might cry out to a bottle. It might have prescription pills in it. It might have alcohol in it. It might be some other substance that just makes us feel good and gets us away from this darkness for a moment. Then we wake up and it's still there, right? And oftentimes it's stronger. So it's not a bottle. We cry out to God, not a bottle. We cry out to God, not a toxic relationship that we go back to because we just want to feel good again, momentarily. We cry out to God, not a shopping spree or more debt or the new car or whatever it is just to feel better. I don't know what you do to feel better. I know my coping skills a lot through my life. My coping skill has partially been food. You know, that I feel like by eating this food, I'm feeling pleasure, I'm enjoying this, I want more of this. We're here on Main Street where fire trucks go by. So what we see in Psalm 88 is this. You are allowed to bring it raw and honest. You don't have to try to pretend God. You don't have to sugarcoat it. You don't have to do any of that. If you're grieving in the darkness, what Psalm 88 is showing us, this worship tune is showing us that it's okay to bring raw honesty to God. The second thing, it's okay to cry out to God in your agony. Can you imagine this song getting any play on modern Christian radio? Yeah, no. It's raw honesty. We don't have to pretend everything's okay. We don't have to hide the pain, the emotions, the distress. But it's important we remember, like Haman, that we are praying to our Creator. We are praying to the Lord. He saves in verse 1. He remembers that his unfailing love that he mentions in verse 11. And then he says, can they proclaim your faithfulness in the place of destruction? You see, Haman did it very differently than the grumbling Israelites that were complaining about God, complaining and turning on God, rejecting God. Haman is bringing this darkness to God in this prayer. And while he's praying in agony, he's admitting, God, you have unfailing love. God, thank you for your faithfulness. God, Lord and Savior. He's admitting that stuff and remembering that. It's an admission that life hurts, but God is unfailing and faithful in his love for you. See, what it tells us is we can express our deepest heartache in a way that honors God rather than grumbling against him. So number one, God, our highest power. Number two, it's okay to cry out to him honestly. Okay to cry out to him honestly. Number three, we can be sad about the darkness. Psalm 88 is brutally honest about life in a fallen world, right? It's brutally honest about life in a fallen world. Most eventually come out of a depressive fog or spiritually dark seasons. But there are others of us who perpetually struggle. Some of us go through a quick season of a struggle of darkness. Others, it lasts and lasts and lasts. And I don't know why. I don't know why one person gets a season that is lighter that somebody else doesn't. I don't know why life does that. I don't know why life, it just seems to come in bunches. You've heard that said. I don't know why there are sometimes we cry out, oh, I've had enough. Can't we move on to somebody else now? I don't know why. It's just so unfair, right? It's just so unfair. Well, there's a false theology being taught that if you just pray hard enough, if you just believe hard enough, if you just do all the right things, God will make your life all that you've wanted. God will make you comfortable. He will make you, your things in your life will work conveniently. That God will do all this. That is a teaching that we don't find in Scripture. We don't find it in the lives of the apostles. I don't find it anywhere. And so people will take one or two little verses and they'll pull it out and say, boy, if you just ask God, He gives you everything you want. And if you just follow Him, your life is nothing but roses. That's called false theology. Real life indicates otherwise. And this psalm does too. The psalm does too. Here's the thing. According to the way Haman is feeling, the sun doesn't always come out tomorrow. According to how Haman is feeling, we might not always get the job we want. We might see marriages end. I'm hearing this rumbling and trying to direct, so I'm going to preach over this way. To this poor lady walking down the street, I'm going to preach at her. No. The reality in life is that marriages end. The reality is that there are hard things that happen. People get sick and die. Sin in our world has made it a very difficult place. A very difficult place. Remember, paradise in the beginning. Choose to go against God, paradise lost, and then going through. Finding out, hey, we need a savior because we can't do this on our own by following the law. Jesus coming, then paradise found again through him. Psalm 88 shows that life is hard and gives us permission to be sad about all that isn't right. Gives us permission. So, to review the three that we're up to now. Number one, God is our highest power. He's got a record of success. Number two, it's okay to cry out to him honestly. Number three, you can be sad about the darkness in your life. And now, number four, you can trust that Jesus is Savior. What? This is the Old Testament. How can we see Jesus in this? Psalm 88 points to Jesus. Think about this. What Haman was wanting in Psalm 88 was answered in Jesus, was fulfilled in Jesus. Jesus came to rescue and restore what's broken. He came to fulfill the deepest cries of our heart. He came so that one day all our tears might be wiped away. Romans 8:26 says this, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, we do not know what we ought to pray for. You ever pray and feel like you just don't even have the words? You're in such agony that you don't even know how to pray? Listen to this. The Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. Do you ever have a friend who just will sit with you without trying to solve your problem? You don't really need words. You just need presence. And it's like your hearts are communicating. The Holy Spirit does that when we're in such agony and such pain and loss. The Holy Spirit intercedes. So you can cry out to God with a broken heart. God hears you even when you don't have the things to say. He hears you. It reminds us, Psalm 88, that in our agony, to focus on the truth of who God is, even in darkness. Tim Keller is one of my favorite teachers. He passed away, but he gave me this to chew on this week as I was looking and studying for today's message. Jesus Christ, he said, Jesus Christ experienced darkness as his only friend. So, in your darkness, you know Jesus is your friend. He's still there. Jesus was truly abandoned so that you will only feel abandoned. It's not the truth. But our feelings are our feelings. We can't just be like, don't feel like that. Still there. At my darkest moments, when I was weak, 2011, 2012, and dying of end-stage liver disease, I had friends ask if I truly believed God would heal me. And I said, I do. I do with everything within me. I believe that God will heal me. And I'd say, I just don't know if it's going to be on this side of life or on the next. Romans 8:18 says, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Our present agony, our present, if we're struggling in depression, if the tears are just falling down our face, if the emotions are there, that present agony someday will be replaced with the glory of God. He says, for the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. You know, the darkness ends. The suffering stops. Revelations 21. It says this, I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them, and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there'll be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever. And the one sitting on the throne said, look, I'm making everything new. And then he said to me, write this down. For what I tell you is trustworthy and true. And he also said, it is finished. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To all who are thirsty, I will give freely from the springs of the water of life. All who are victorious will inherit all these blessings, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Jesus is new life, full life. Jesus is living water to a thirsty soul. The Bible tells us he's rest for the weary, that he's peace in the face of uncertainty, that he's strength and weakness, that he's hope, forgiveness, salvation, that he's our new beginning. So I wanted to share that with you this morning in our series about saying that we do recover. Yesterday, many of us were at a celebration that you didn't understand while I was up there and hearing, Tom and Heidi share their vows. I was choking back tears as well. And I was thinking, the Lord says, and he promises to Israel, I will restore the years the locusts have eaten. I will repay those years. And when you talk to Tom and Heidi, and hopefully they'll share their story later this summer, each of them has a journey that included a crushing disappointment with a broken marriage. Heidi shared that with us before, right? When she shared her testimony. Both of them were at a point where they thought, there's no hope. My life is over. Everything I know is gone. What am I going to do? What is the future? Both of them were there. And yesterday, I got to stand there and watch them see the years the locusts have eaten be restored as they read their vows to each other, and they wept. And I thought, Lord God, thank you for this. Thank you for these reminders you've placed in our life, that even though I'm in the hardest of times right now, you do give new life. You are faithful. You are true. Your love and your mercy are real. We cry out to God. We can admit where we are. He listens. He understands. His faithfulness continues. As Bernie comes up, he's going to play for us, and we're going to have communion together over here to close our service together. And I would like to encourage those of you who are less mobile. We're on rocky ground here. It's kind of wiggly. I know if you just talk to somebody next to you or say, hey, can you grab one for me? They'll do that. Okay, let us serve you. Let us help. See, this table represents what Jesus bought on the cross. That he bought new life for us. That he bought salvation and forgiveness. The Bible says that it was the payment of our sin debt. And you who think when scripture says the wages of sin is death, and you think that's kind of harsh, don't we expect those who sin against us to pay? Don't we expect it? That sin debt was paid to Christ on the cross. So as you come up to the table, take the bread, take the juice, and as you do it in remembrance of Christ, who gave us new life through the price he paid. Let's pray together. Lord God, I thank you. First, I thank you that even though this life, this broken life, is hard, and even though we attach it to you when you don't give us exactly what we want and you don't make things convenient and you don't immediately just absorb all the pain and take it away, that you're still faithful, you're still loving, you still stay with us, and you never leave us or forsake us. I thank you that you are indeed our highest power. I thank you that we find salvation through Christ. I thank you that you bring to us new life when we make you Lord. Thank you for this bread and cup. Might we remember what it stands for. In Jesus' name.